Mics are hot. At this point, mics are hot.
We should narrate the drive for
Anna
the people driving.
Anna is driving, and Julia is sitting in the passenger seat.
And they're just staring off into the windshield.
Of the open road.
I'm sure they're thrilled.
They're both very tired, I think they're tired of talking because they both popped in earbuds. And
they cannot hear us at all.
Are not listening at all. Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, congoers and board gamers. My name is Jared, and with me is my extremely delirious friend, Ian.
Yep, that's me.
Are you tired, buddy?
Yep, that's me.
We will be your hosts for the podcast. We are honored and grateful that you have joined us here at our table. Here at the Game Table Podcast, we take a look at various board, card, and other tabletop games. We give an overview, provide a little insight on how to play, and share some of our thoughts, all in an attempt to give you an idea of how well it would fit for you and your table. Today,
yes,
we're going to be talking about several games as
Woo!
We review our time at Funkytown.
Yes, Funkytown.
Is it Funkytown Con?
It's Funkytown, yes.
But it's a play on words because it's also funky.
It is funky, yes, but it's fun K-Town.
Con.
Yes, I think.
I think so too.
Yeah. I mean, it is a convention. So even if they don't say that, I could say that because that's what it is. It's a con. That's
great.
Yes? No? You don't agree with me?
I don't know. We were having this discussion earlier about Nashville Tabletop Days.
I mean,
is it a convention or is it a gathering?
What's the difference?
I don't know. Someone much smarter than us should have this conversation.
I will say this
was
at a convention center, so I would say that it is a con.
That is
like
true.
100%. Yes, sure.
That is right. All right. I don't know.
Anyway,
we need to move on.
It's a con.
Great.
We're making it a con. It should be a con. It's that good. It's fun.
It is a lot of fun. We had an extremely wonderful time at our first time being there. I loved all of the different things that we got to do while we were there and the different games that we got to play. A very special thank you off the top to Mike Randolph for putting the event together and for giving us the opportunity to come out and be able to participate and game and teach and just have a great time.
Yes. Thank you to everyone who was there that was kind and generous in all the time that they spent with us. And for the game of the hour, which we will get to, we participated in and taught some people how to play multiple games. And they were just very open to what we had to say and very respectful of everybody's time. And it went really well. And so it was a lot of fun. And we say thank you to all of those that were there, goers and providers.
So, yeah, Ian, let's jump right into it. I want to first start with the game of the hour and the play to wins because Mike was able to get a bunch of publishers to make donations.
It was awesome.
For both of these events. I believe that they said there were over 300 ticketed entries into these. The game of the hour where you get to come have a game is being featured for you with teachers, which we participated in, and they get to show you some new games. And we had a great time with that. We taught three games while we were there, and all of our tables were full the entire time.
It was 3 hours straight, too.
It was. It was a marathon, or it kind of felt like a sprint at times, but we had a great time with it. Maybe it was three sprints together, making a marathon.
Yes, it was. Three sprints.
Sure. But they were all together. But we got to teach Between Two Cities, one of our favorites. And then, like we talked about a couple episodes ago, we did Acropolis and Sea Salt and Paper. And I want to start there, Ian, because I felt like overwhelmingly the comments that I got was for all three. I loved this game. I had a great time. Thank you so much for showing this to me. And that I remember that was really one of my big goals going into it, especially with Sea Salt and Paper, because I know it's so popular, and I want to make sure we put a good teach together so that other people could enjoy it if that was their game.
Yes. So you just want to know how surprising it was for me?
Did you have thoughts on the game of the hour or play to win?
I thought you were talking about the sea salt and paper specifically.
But. Oh yes. So, well, sure. Did you feel like people had a different reaction than maybe you were anticipating?
Yes. Well, I don't know. It's mixed because the game is highly rated, which we discussed in the past on how a lot of people do like it, but we didn't find it particularly, you know, mind-boggling or mind-blowing. Yeah, it didn't. It was very average most of the time, at least from most of the aspects, except for the art. We really liked the art.
Sure.
But I think everybody likes a good Rummy-style card game, so it was slightly surprising of how many people were like, yeah, I like this game. Like, there wasn't anybody that was, like, saying, oh, I don't know, it's all right. Everybody was saying, no, I really like this. This is good. So I don't know if that's, you know, that's great. That's good. That's what we want. So if there's a lot of people that really like the game and like the aspects of it, it was a little surprising, I believe, just in general, just looking at it that way. But I was pleasantly surprised by the fact of that. And then moving forward to, I guess, the other game in the hours, like you were saying, I think it was a fantastic way for people to learn games, which all the people we were teaching didn't play. I didn't have anybody that played before. So,
wait, say that again.
So, like, all the games that we are taught, nobody had played before. So I was teaching everybody at the table the game. It wasn't like there was one that had been played it before.
Yes, it was all new games, new gamers to those games.
It was a good experience for them to see them, to teach them, and it was just fun to be a part of that hour because it was just people that had never played the game before, so they're experiencing it for the first time, and you get to see their reactions to it and kind of see how their thought process is and see how, like, a new game, because it's different when you're sitting at the table as a new player to games and you're like, okay, I'm thinking through, like, okay, so how do I, one, learn this game, but how do I play it? It is different to coming from a teaching's perspective. You're like, did I teach everything the right way to give them a good idea on how to progress? And so it's fun to see. I feel like they were all very receptive of the teaching and they asked the right questions. And I thought everybody did a very good job playing the games too. So
absolutely. Everybody was really helpful in getting things set up and really paying attention during the rules, which always really helps getting the game moving. And everyone really cordial with one another and positive vibes. I really liked that. And I thought the other teachers did a great job, too. Like, they were running Game of the Hour most of the day on Friday and Saturday. And I don't know if there was any today on Sunday, but I know that there was all day Friday and Saturday. But everyone that I saw teaching seemed to be doing a really good job. There were multiple times where, you know, they had brought in podcasters to help teach. And they were teaching multiple tables at the same time. I know I had that on multiple occasions, and that can be a really hard thing to do. But they did a great job and really owned it. I think really created a safe space for new gamers to come in. And so I totally love that Game of the Hour structure. I think it's great. Really helps new players and old players alike. So with that, Ian, there was also the play to win section, which you didn't necessarily get taught the game, but if you played it, you had a chance to win it.
Yep.
I know there was a couple dozen different titles that were available to be won.
Yes.
We won a copy.
We did.
We got Silver Coin from Bezier Games, which is fun. We enjoyed that little game. And was there a favorite play to win that you played that you might be looking at down the road?
Well, crazy enough, how much we talked about Between Two Cities, I do not own that. Mm. And that was on the play to win. And I did try and win it, but didn't
have... Our good buddy Mark did, though. The one we made a new friend, Mark.
Yeah.
And so, he ended up winning. That was awesome.
That was cool. So we're literally sitting down to get started, and there's only like an hour left of play to win. And we're like, okay, let's play this game real quick, knock it out so we can get our names on the list. And so then, yeah, Mark shows up, and he's like, I was like, hey, do you want to play? And he's like, oh, yeah, sure. And so we play the game. I think we played like two other games, and he ended up winning Between Two Cities. I was like, that is awesome.
We got through Between Two Cities
and
in 12 minutes.
Yeah, so we taught it and played it all within like 22 minutes, but it only took 12 minutes to play. One of the fastest games of Between Two Cities I've ever played in my life.
That's pretty incredible.
And we were on a time crunch, so it worked out really well. But is Ex Libris or Libris? What it,
Ex Libris? Yep, yes, that was that one's, on my list as well for sure.
Yes, that one was very good. Those two would be at the top of the list, I think, on the play to win. And there was only one copy of that one. We did not win that one. But
no, but
I'm
we did get to try it out, and I'm glad that we got to try this one. So Ex Libris actually came out a long while ago, several years ago, in fact.
It has been out a minute.
But this was the revised edition that they had up for grabs, and we got to try it out, and I'm glad that we did because I felt like what I'd heard from other people there is that the revised edition really helps with a lot of the issues that the first printing or edition had. And so to be able to get it fresh for the first time for a game that I'd been kind of excited about for a while, I felt like it was a theme that hit for all four of us, you and I and our wives, and I think that came through.
Yes, very much. And that's a funny point you make. So before this convention started, before we even left, I was like, Jared, there's an optimum world.
Oh.
That we got. So this will be my wife's first, like, big gaming event like this. There have been other conventions and stuff that either I've gone to and she didn't go, or even JaredCon. She didn't go to that.
Julia's never come.
Yep.
That's okay. No offense.
Yeah.
Taken.
But, so, anyway, I was like, I was asking Julia, I was like, if there's a world in the perfect world, which board game do we pick up and we sit down on the table and be like, what's your perfect theme and perfect gameplay of a game that you'd be really interested in and that you think you would really like? What's your optimum theme and whatnot? So she tells me, well, I really like books, so, and collecting books. So let's go with that. And if it's a world where I'm like building my library out, well,
lo and behold,
I am describing the theme of this game to a pinpoint. I mean, it is literally that. Like, there is some, you're collecting sets of books. You are collecting sets of different types of books, and there's a lot of special abilities and stuff. It is also a worker placement on top of that, which is another aspect I am finding out I think she likes, is she likes a little bit of board play and conflict on side, you know, on the board. So she could, I guess, discuss that more than I could, but that's what I believe she likes. And so anyway, this game, very, very, very fun for any book lover. 100%. But this is what she wanted. And I was like, oh my God, Jared, I found the game. Like, she literally said, this is what I want. And I'm like, wait a second. As we're opening the box and Anna was reading the rules on like what the theme was, I'm like, oh, hey, I think I found my dream has come true.
That's right. Yeah. You told me that we needed to find a game that all four of us could enjoy together and it'd be our first time all four of us playing it.
Yep.
And it would be, we would decide it was a good game. And Ex Libris came through, and it was like game, what, number 3 or 4 on the day?
Yeah, of day one.
On day one.
day one.
Yes.
So it didn't even take the whole weekend. It was just like that. So.
Yeah, and it's got a fun fantasy theme to it, and you're putting together these different bookshelves, right? And so each book has a fun made-up title that's a riff on an actual book. So the one I remember off the top of my head, I had a card that said Nancy Druid, instead of Nancy Drew in the Nancy Drew series.
Oh, that's funny.
So all little cute stuff like that. And it's all like fantasy based. So it all has like that fun spin to it. So,
yeah. So I wish I was able to read the books more, the titles. If I owned the game or played it more, I would definitely look at it. I was, to be fair to the game, I was a little overwhelmed by the symbols and the worker placement at part of it. There's a lot of moving for a new player.
Unironically, lots of reading.
Lots of reading for a game about books. So, but overall, I really enjoyed it. It just, I was very overwhelmed by the amount of symbols I needed to pay attention to. And you also have to categorize your books like on a bookshelf, like A, B, C, D,
right.
A through Z. And, which is awesome. That's so thematic. It just, that is not my best type of game. So I was very focused in. And I got upset a couple times, but
that's okay.
But
we did find out the alphabet is not your strong suit.
No. Yeah. The alphabet spelling with the alphabet.
But, as if there's other ways to spell.
Well, we're not even spelling in this game. I'm just sorting via letters. But anyway, it was a lot for somebody. Anyway.
Yep.
It was very fun, though. I very much enjoyed it. It'll probably be on the to-buy list for sure for a gift. And it was awesome.
So another thing I wanted to bring up is that the big sponsor for the convention was Bezier Games.
Yes, they're fantastic.
We love Bezier Games. It was fun to get to hang out with them. We got to see some of their new little card games that are coming out.
Also a surprise.
Later this year. That was a nice surprise, yes. So very excited for a couple of things that are coming down the pipeline this year. I really enjoy trick-taking games. There's something about them that there's a lot of them. Obviously.
And Bezier has, right now, they're releasing a lot of them.
Yes.
Or they've had some released, and they're really keying in on those, and it's working. So, again, we'll probably discuss real quick, like, which ones we played, or which ones are coming out. Is it a spoiler to spoil such things?
No, they're advertising them on their website, okay. So I think we're okay.
Yeah. I guess, do you want me to talk about one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, is it Cat in a Box? Cat in the Box? In the Box? A Box.
In the Box.
Cat in the Box is a fantastic trick-taking game. It is pretty new to the market. I don't know how new, but I know they're really, that's one of their sellers right now.
Yeah, so that one came out 2022, so it's still pretty fresh.
Yeah, they're really like, this is our, because they had a whole display model and table for that game specifically. So they were really going for that one. And it is such an interesting game because it's a trick-taking game, but there are no colors on the cards. And so basically there's a board that you will be placing tokens on, playing how you symbolize what color the card you're playing is by where you place your token on the board. And so it's still a trick-taking game. I'm going to play the four, and I'm going to say it's in green. And so everybody needs to play inside green, but there is still a trump card, which will be red. And so you can go out of color and play into red, but then you can no longer play into the color that you skipped. And so therefore, you can't play any of those colors. And so on this board, let's say we're playing, with four players, you can play 1 through 9. And so 1 through 9 or 8? I think it's 8, actually. But anyway.
Well, it can go up to 9 if you're in the 5-player game.
Yeah, 5. I think 4-player would be 8. So you can play 1 through 8 in each color, but only each number can only be played one time in each color. And so that what happens is, as the game goes down and down, these tokens will be covering up those numbers in those specific colors, therefore blocking you from playing like a 4 again inside blue when I started the thing off with the 4 of blue. And so it is so cool. Basically, once you kind of get down later in the game, a lot of the spots have been all blocked off. And so the way the math works out in the cards, a lot of times they call it a paradox, right?
Yep.
So a paradox will happen when you don't have a card to play because either you can't play into a color anymore or you don't even have a number that works because all the slots have been filled. And so it's just it's a very thinky trick-taking game that just changes, it puts it on its head. In my mind, it's not so simple of like doing this. There's a much deeper quick strategy to try and do things, and there's also a little bit of different scoring too. You can get some extra scoring points by playing cards that are all similar. And so it just fascinating game that as soon as I we had one person with Bezier come and teach us, I was like, oh my gosh, my head, like, what? My brain was just wiped. I was like, what? I don't even know what's true anymore.
You worked through it, though. And now it's one that you really enjoy.
I did. The last game I played, I scored 7 points on one turn, which just doesn't seem like a lot. But I won every trick inside the game, or inside the round.
Yep.
Round?
Yep. Yeah. It was in the round. Right.
I won all 7 tricks, which was, I don't know, I hope that was a generational play that have never been done before, but I don't know if I can claim that.
Incredible. Yeah, one other one I'll speak on really quickly is Xylotar, and that one is coming out in June, I believe.
At Gen
No. Gen Con is Rebel Princess, which we did get to see. We didn't get to try it out.
I cannot wait to play that one,
but,
though.
But it looks like a lot of fun, too. Rebel Princess is a trick-taking game where you play one of the Disney princesses, but you're rebelling against the Disney code of having to get married. And so you're trying to avoid... you want to be the princess at the end of the night that has the least amount of dates.
Yep. So I can't wait.
Yeah, that's so that one's coming out at Gen Con, and that's in August.
Yep.
But Xylotar is coming out in June.
Right, at Origins.
That's right.
Right, okay.
And so Xylotar is a trick-taking game about music notes, and you are trying to harness the power of the Xylotar. And it's got a cute, fun 80s theme artwork, but it's got a polar bear playing this Xylotar.
It's too good.
And it's very, very fun.
Yeah.
And so the idea is that the person to your right, they arrange your cards from highest to lowest. And then they pass them to you, and you have them face down. You don't get to see them.
Right.
So on the backs of the cards are different colors that indicate the different suits, and they also give a number range. So you have an idea of what the range might be, but you don't know the exact number. So you kind of play blind a little bit until you start figuring out where the numbers are as you start playing. And then eventually you do have to bid on how many tricks you think that you're going to take. And the way you do that is during your turn, you flip up two cards that are right next to each other. You pick one, that becomes your bid, and you flip it face up inside of the game. And then you try to make your bid, and you score points. Fun little game.
Yes.
I'm actually really thinking about getting this one for the kids. It's a little bit, probably a little bit older than what they're at, but I think that they can handle it, and I think that the musical theme is going to be really fun for them. And it'll be a nice way to kind of intro them into trick-taking games. It'll be a little bit different, but I think it's one that they could really enjoy.
Yeah, no, I think... It trying to just put in words what I think this game does, because it's just so different. One, it's a trick-taking game, but you don't know what you have, which is...
Yeah, the playing the blind aspect is definitely an add, for sure.
Yeah, because... The player to your right picks, like, looks at all the cards. So if you were good and I'm not, you would memorize what the player to your left has in general.
Sure. If I had a photographic memory, I would do that.
Yeah.
You're right.
I could not do that, though. But you would at least get a general idea. Okay, they have a lot of high cards. So that gives you an idea of what I want to bet on because I know what they have. But I didn't think about that when I played it, you know. But either way, it just puts you in an interesting spot because... You don't know what you have in front of you. You know what the player to your left did have at one point or another. And so you're just trying to... And the way they get lined up in front of you, so they get put in a line. And so you know left is the highest, but you don't... You know right's the lowest, but you have no idea what the numbers are. And so on the back of the notes, like, it says kind of what it is. It's like 0 to 12. Well, that's, like, not helpful.
Hey-o.
0 to 12 is, like, everything. But then it will say, like, you know, 5 or lower, you know? And so you'll get an idea... But you never truly know. And then eventually you have to bet on if you're going to win or not. So, and then you bet with the card that you have and you don't even know the true number.
That's right. And you could pull something like, they were telling us a story about one time this guy had to pull two and he pulled like a 9 and a 5.
Yeah,
and he's like, what do you do with that?
So yeah, no, really, really cool. Like I said, they're kind of, you know, going into the... They're making a lot of games that are trick takers, but I don't think it's bad.
They have a lot of bigger games too. Like,
yeah.
And I mean, we had played some before. We've played a lot of Castles of Mad King Ludwig, and we've seen other games of theirs as well that
all
we really
werewolf,
enjoy.
Ultimate yep, Werewolf.
All the old werewolves are from them. They are. We kind of coined this weekend that they are the Tim Burton of board games.
I fully agree with that statement.
And we mean that with the highest of compliments.
I mean, no, I love Tim Burton. I like his movies.
And we like the wacky kind of flavor that they add to their games. And so it's really good. Love it a lot.
I think it's just the fact that their art is so good, but so unique in its own way.
That's right.
It's not... It's just kind of like got this creepy undertone, but then like happy... characters inside this world. It's so weird. It's just funny to me, and it's so good. It's so good.
Well, and it's cool too because I feel like they do pump out really good games, and I feel like anytime I play a Pezier game, I'm like, okay, thinking about this on a BGG scale of 1 to 10 and the way that that's rated, I know I'm getting at least a 7.
Right.
And maybe better.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's true. Yeah, basically, that's the math.
So, all right. So we've hit some of the highlights. We need to talk about some of the games that we've played, Ian.
Yes, which we've already started doing.
That is true. Thank you. but as far as games that we played, do you have a favorite game of the weekend?
Wow. I have two.
Oh, I am not surprised.
I mean, I said we were going to do one, but then now I'm doing two. So,
well, I feel like that's okay.
I'll briefly go over these.
No, that's okay.
But the game of Root would be on the list of top games. I never played Root. It's been on the list for years because it came out in 2018, I believe.
Yep.
Man, that game is good. I am just... It is so asymmetrical. And every ability that you're watching at the board does something different because that's the asymmetrical part. But it's so... Honestly, like, it's the simplicity of just map control, worker placement, kind of like area control, is very interesting.
Did you just put Root and simplicity in the same conversation?
No, it's super complex, but I'm saying it's like, oh, just get 30 points. That's the game.
I figured it out.
30 points. That's all it goes to. And you're like, okay, 30. And so you're sitting there just trying to piece together your abilities and... And again, each they're not characters, they're tribes, or I'm not even know what the true terminology is there, but
I would call them factions.
Factions, okay. So that, but each faction plays completely different if you've never heard of this game, and they have their own abilities, they have their own cards most of the time. You do share a big group of main cards, but they have their own characters, and the way they take actions is different than the next player, and it's just crazy. It doesn't make any sense. The way they attack is different than the other players. The way they move is different. The way they like use cards and build cards is different. And it is a lot to learn, I think, at start, because it was a lot. But it was so helpful that we had somebody teach us.
Yes.
Which was always great.
Yeah, before you keep going on that, just wanted to give a shout out to Dylan. He runs a local game store in Knoxville, Good Times Game House.
Yes.
Dylan was awesome all weekend and did a great job of being very welcoming to those that came over to his stand, but also like took 3 hours out of his day today to show us Root while he was kind of keeping an eye on other things as well.
Yeah. It was like 3 hours.
Hats off to the guy. He did a great job. So thank you, Dylan, so much.
He did a very thorough job teaching. He spent like a whole hour almost teaching. I felt like it was an hour. Was it an hour? I mean,
it was a while.
Pretty dang close.
I mean, Root is a massive, complex game, and you have to explain to each player what they're doing.
Right. You're teaching 4 games.
That's right.
It's not, that's a weird thing, is it's not, in my mind, it's not like, Once the game gets going, I felt like I was just flowing, but everybody's abilities are so different. You are having to like kind of memorize a little bit what each player's doing, but then to teach the game is so daunting because you're like, okay, I got to teach 4 games, and I don't know what the best strategy is to teach that. He did a great job because it was a lot, and I'm glad we had somebody else to teach because. And he also mentioned the day before, he's like, I would not play that with 4 new people and nobody to be able to teach you. So let me get to you tomorrow and I'll help you. And he did. And it was awesome. But to get back to the game, it was just, I haven't played many asymmetrical games like that. And the theme is really, really good. And the theme is weird to me. Like, If you say, okay, what theme works really well that you love? I'm like, you know, take some type of art and like just fully put me into that world. But no, this is like this kind of, it's in the woods. It's like these creatures inside the woods, mice and a raccoon and some birds and some
cats
inside this world. But they create this whole backstory, and then the characters you play, how they play, how their cards play, the art on those characters all get sucked into this universe. And I don't know. There's just something about it that he was just explaining how, and he was really good about talking about the theme as he was going right, which was another thing. If you do that to me, I'm going to be sold.
Oh, you were sucked in completely from the jump.
He started talking about one of the characters or one of the factions. And I was like, all right, I love this game. Didn't even play turn one yet. I was like, I love this. This is too good. So, that's how that goes. But, do you want to elaborate on that at all? Have you played Root before?
I have not. This was one of those games. I remember holding it at Gen Con in 2018. I took a long look at it. I knew the reputation of letter games and the fact that this was going to be a heavier game with asymmetrical powers. And I was like, this is awesome. And I'm probably never getting it to the table. I just don't have the right gaming group for it. And that's okay. I've learned if this was Jared back at the beginning of his time collecting games,
right,
would have bought it without question.
Yep.
And then would have gotten frustrated when I couldn't get it to the table. And I've learned. And so this is one of those that I was like, well, I don't know, maybe someday. But Dylan was extremely generous to teach it to us. I was very happy that he did because it was one of those that I really wanted to play. I really enjoyed it. I really liked the different factions and the way that they played. I really enjoyed the faction that I played of the Woodland Alliance. Always down to play a rebel group that's trying to sabotage and screw everything up.
They look like bread and butts.
No. We're not going to say that.
They look like bread. They look like a loaf of bread.
Only to the birds. The bird faction didn't know what was going on.
The birds wanted to eat you because they thought you were bread.
Oh, well. At the end of the day, we were dominant as the Woodland Alliance.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I almost had a shared victory with you, but
yes, almost
because of my abilities. But
maybe next time.
Yes. Anyway.
All right. What's the other game?
Yeah. So I picked two really heavy games, I guess.
You sure did.
Ark Nova would be the other one. Haven't played it for now, and that game is. I'm not that we're ranking it right now.
Oh.
Wait, should I do that if we're going to ever do it on the podcast?
I think you should hold.
Okay. Let's say...
You also only played it once, so just pump the brakes.
No, I'm not going to pump them.
Pump the brakes.
Nope, no brakes. No brakes. Full gas. I would say that this game would be one of my most highly ranked games I've ever played.
Ooh, I'll take.
I'm not going to say it's a 10 out of 10 because that would be spoiling anything.
Oh, my.
So anyway, I'm not going to say that.
Okay.
So there's that, but this game is so good. It's about building a zoo and you build it from the bottom up. You build out, your little exhibits and you build some concessions and different areas. You build a reptile room if you want, or an aviary. Your zoo is your own. And you have a board that is, there's a bunch of different player boards, so the zoo is set up differently. There's like water inside your zoo, and so you have to kind of navigate through the basic layout of your zoo, but you can build exhibits around that stuff, and so every player is different than they have. It's not as like, it's the exact same board, they're building on a different board. And there's also about 200 cards, it looks like, in this game, of animals, what are the little like sponsors?
Yes, you have animals, sponsors, or new conservation
projects.
New
conservation projects. And basically, it's basically like what they're doing with, you have the actual animals themselves, but also you have, like little cool things, like little, a zookeeper that you hire and stuff like that. And it's just like really neat to see. Basically, there's not many games where it goes from really bottom up on how a system works or how a place works. Terraforming Mars would be another one where it is very similar on you're building kind of a space engine and putting things out on the planet and heating it up. But it's not like from top to bottom, from start to finish. Where it is in this Ark Nova, you're starting your zoo and you're getting it to completion with a full zoo of animals. And there's a lot of other scoring things that go on, and there's different tracks that you're going on. It's a lot. But I would, I'd have to play this game maybe one more time to decide for sure. But right now, I'd put it ahead of Terraforming Mars for me. I love Terraforming Mars, but there's just, it has everything that I want. Work, you know, you have a little bit of worker placement with the track. You have scoring system. You have great card play. And the cards are used for so many different things. As you play more cards and play combinations of cards, it allows you to play different cards and more powerful cards. You have to, like, build, you know, you have to put some smaller, like primal animals in your zoo before you can get, like, a giant, you know, a large gorilla and or, like, a panda. You have to put a couple small pandas in there before you get the you know, a polar bear or something like that, you know. And so it's just so thematic. Like, it just fully... just invested into...
You definitely feel like you're building a zoo.
100%.
And no matter how well you do, you can see a very completed zoo at the end of the game.
Yeah. And so anyway, after all that, it was just... I was so thrilled to be able to play finally. I know you've been talking about this game for a while. And it was on my list to play this year, and I finally got it in, so...
Nice. Yeah, I was happy that you finally got to play it. I've played this game probably a dozen times at this point and really enjoy it. It's another hefty one, though.
Yeah.
And not one that gets to the table all the time, but when it does, it is a blast to play.
Yeah. It took multiple hours. So, but I never, what's crazy, it's a great game in that way because I never felt like it was taking that long.
Sure. No,
like,
that's
the one thing when you're talking about a game is like, do I feel like this is taking 3 hours when it actually is? And if it's only feel like an hour in, you're 2 hours in. That's perfect. That's what you want when you're playing a game and you're invested like that.
You do definitely get engrossed in what you're doing. That is for sure. And everything goes quick because you're only taking the one action and then moving on.
Yep.
So, yeah, I really enjoy it. I'm glad that you liked it as much as you do.
Yeah. Well, Jared, I've talked about my games. I played plenty of other games, but I need you to talk about at least something. So tell me.
So
what do you got?
Yeah, thinking about like my favorite games of the convention. I'm going to start with a couple that we've already reviewed that we got a chance to play again. Let's Go to Japan. Ian, that game is so good. That game speaks to me on another level.
It's a great game.
It is always a blast to play. It is always one that I will play. I actually think playing it again, I don't even remember what I scored it. I might score it higher now that I've played it a few more times.
I don't remember. Did
even
you give
after
it an
the
8
times
or 9?
That,
I don't remember.
I don't know. It was high.
Yeah.
I feel like it had to have been high. And if it wasn't high, past Jared's an idiot.
He's not going to say it's a 10.
It's not a 10, but it's really good.
He's not going to say it, but...
I am very happy with Let's Go to Japan. We had two new players. We had a full game of 5.
Oh, yeah, we did.
It still went relatively quick. We got it in an hour, which was incredible.
I mean...
Even with two new players, that was really good.
After I taught...
It took an hour after you were done teaching.
Yeah. So like an hour and a half, probably?
Most definitely no more than that.
Yeah. I mean, that's crazy.
It was really
for
well done.
For a game
done.
Like that, super good.
It continues to surprise me. If I had a surprise in 2024, I don't think anyone's gonna top that. Because I just did not. When you got that game, I had no expectation it was going to get anywhere near that.
I remember when I said, like, hey, I got this game. I pre-ordered it and off Kickstarter or whatever. And he's like, okay, well, you know, we can give it, we'll give it a try.
Yeah, here we go.
We'll see. And I was like, I don't know, Jared. Like the way this game looks, it looks a lot of fun. And he's like, I don't know. We'll see. Well, look how the tables have turned.
The tables have turned. In fact, I've told you already, I will be speaking to AEG at Gen Con.
Nice.
To say, listen, this must expand beyond just Japan. This line needs to be expanded.
I know there was so much work, and I'm not going to take away from all the hard work that was placed or that took place for the Japan theme.
Right. It's a lot.
One, that's why it's the first game. I don't know if they're planning another one, but they need to. But to give credit where credit is due, the Japan theme is so well done. And I would expect if they do pick another country or whatever, that the same type of care and commitment would be done to those countries as well, because it is so well done.
Yep.
On the accuracy and the places and the artwork style is similar to the country itself and the history behind it and the way the whole game plays. I would want the same done for if you did it in Russia or you did, US, I don't know, pick one. I'm not interested in US personally, but give me something else that I, because I like learning. I learn a lot in this game about things that I would, I who knows, I'll, maybe I'll see them, maybe I won't, but to learn about another country, I mean, it'd be so cool to do something. And yes, I agree with you. I can't wait if they do go that direction.
I think it'd be a lot of fun. The other one that we have played before and reviewed that I really enjoyed again was Heat. We had a great finish where
yes, that was a good one.
Three of us had a three. It was like within a space.
Well, not I was not part of the us.
No, you were not. But there were five players.
I stalled out and
you,
crashed in the corner.
You were there on the track.
I was on the track.
And but it was a we played with a new friend, Russell, and yeah. He did a great job. And
he'd played before and he was good.
He lucked out though at the end because Anna, I thought Anna had it and missed it by one slot. Oh, well. So those were fun. I had a really good time getting, I don't know. I think for me, we played a lot of games. I don't know that was one that really stood out. I think getting Ark Nova to the table was huge.
Yeah.
I wanted to do that and I was glad that we did. We played a couple of new ones that I think could be good. I want to try them a few more times before I have a strong opinion one way or the other. But yeah, I mean, we did a lot of gaming for sure.
Yeah.
But I think for me, the highlight of the weekend, and it was so interesting because I was talking to Anna about it afterwards. We got done. There is a special joy that I get in teaching games to new people.
I see.
The highlight of my weekend was definitely running my 3 hours, our 3 hours of Game of the Hour. I always enjoy showing people Between Two Cities. It's one of my favorite games. And being able to teach it so well and so quickly is just a real, really fulfills me, I think. But just being able to engage new people, being able to show people a good time at the table, and being able to show them something new just really was the highlight of the weekend for me.
No, but you mentioned Between Two Cities. I was surprised again by that one. I don't know why. It's every time, too. But no, Game of the Hour, the teaching was so much fun. And I did kind of briefly talk about it, I guess, at the beginning of this. But yeah, you're right. It was a lot of fun to be able to interact. And that's, and I guess, was it okay if we transition into talking about just overall conferences?
Yeah, absolutely.
So the one thing that I think this Fun K-Town gaming convention does different is that they allow new people or couples or somebody that's walking into this world that doesn't know a lot about it and ease of access that a lot of people don't either acknowledge or want to acknowledge about. You know, you walk into an event like this and there are so many people everywhere. There's games along the walls all around and you have no idea where to start. You have no idea who to ask. There are little signs in most of these. There's signs that you could place on your table and like, I need a teacher. But you don't know if, you know, maybe that teacher's busy or you know, like you, and then maybe they sit down and play with you and then they just break you, you know?
Wow.
That's happened to me where the person teaching didn't even take it easy on me. I'm like, this is fantastic. Thank you for making me not like this game. And so it's just a complex thing when you're talking about so many games. And so there is a part where if you find a person and they have a whole pile of games, which there were plenty of people that did that, they were totally willing to sit down with you and play and teach. That's awesome. But when, and this is his whole goal when he made this Fun K-Town, is that he wanted people to be a walk in, either whoever it is, and be like, how do I learn some new games? And so the Game of the Hour is such a unique experience that a lot of other places don't do, that this is a design time, this time right now, every hour, that you can come and learn a different game, that you don't have to go find somebody to teach you. You don't have to find other players. They'll all be in the same spot. Let's get you all sitting down at a table and let's teach you. And again, from our perspective, we love that. We love that, hey, we're right here. We're available. We know what game we're teaching. That way we can come prepared for when you're going to sit it down at the table. It's not like I have to look up the rules, because if you ask me about a game that's on my shelf, in general, I have to look at some of the rules. I don't remember them all. But if I know that I prepared for that day, I'm like, okay, I just briefly, I memorized the little nuances and stuff, then I'm good. I can teach you any other little questions that you have, I can answer. It was so good, so clean, so easy. We had multiple tables going at once, and it was a lot. There was a lot of people in those the games that we ended up doing, and we, again, another thank you to Funkytown for having us, because they picked some games that were, we picked Acropolis before we did a review on it, and we both really love that game. We did Sea Salt and Paper, which we have mixed reviews on, but in general, people really like it. And so that I love that. That's awesome.
And I would say almost, I would say everyone at the table at least had good or great things to say about it.
Yeah.
In their experience.
Right. And that's what you want. And then we also did Between Two Cities, and we already had great reviews on that one. We love that game. So it's games that we enjoyed, and the people that played it also enjoyed it.
I'll tack onto that and say that the whole convention, like not just the people running it, but also the actual participants, very friendly. I mean, I know that in a lot of, so I, you know, I'm used to bigger conventions. I don't usually go to as many of the more local ones. I like set aside my 1 week of the year to go to Gen Con
right.
or whatever. I don't have the time to always go on the weekends. We've got other things that we do, but I remember going to other smaller conventions and feeling like I'm on an island.
Yeah.
And I don't know where to start, and other people are kind of doing their own thing. How do I get in on this? How do I participate? And I'm like a seasoned gamer. Like I know what these games are, and I know to like what it is, but at the same time, it's still very intimidating.
Yeah, it is.
And
it is a lot.
So to have the setup the way that they have here in Funkytown, but also the participants were just so friendly and so kind and welcoming. You know, you'd pass people and everybody say, "Hey, how's it going? Oh, I love that game." I remember with Ark Nova, dude, we had multiple people coming by being like, "Oh, you're going to love it. This is awesome."
Yeah.
Or, you know, just chiming in, "Hey, I just want to make sure that you, do you need any questions or anything like that?" Like just random people. And so I just loved the whole atmosphere. And it was definitely different from other local events that I've gone to in the past.
Yes, I would fairly agree with that. I've been to some of the Nashville ones, and it's got the same vibe for sure. But no, I think there was a lot more welcoming, because it felt like a lot of small, you know, local gamers, where international, like, well, we have an International Tabletop Day, and then we have Tennessee Gaming Days and all that. It, they feel like there is a lot of out-of-towners, and that's fine, but when you have a local community that's really driving that event, that is where it succeeds really well, because they're getting the full experience of what the town's gaming does. And so that I did feel that. I felt that a lot. And the whole, you know, Game of the Hour thing, too, is unique to this event specifically. So that it was just so helpful. And again, yeah, everybody was so nice. We gained with a couple of the same people multiple days, and so they remembered us, and we remembered them, and it was just so good. And yeah, it was a lasting effect, for sure, that you don't always get, especially at something bigger. I've been to a lot of the smaller ones, unlike, I guess you've been to the bigger ones, I've never been to the big ones, and I've been to the small ones, and you don't really go to those, so.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Well, I would say at Gen Con, it is friendly, but it's different, right? Like, because it's this massive...
Just massive people.
...conglomerate of what's... Like, we're all here together.
And trying to buy and play.
But
and
because it's so massive, there's so much more structure. And that allows for teaching and for getting people together and that sort of thing. Whereas right. these smaller ones don't necessarily have the resources for it. And that's part of why I'm really thrilled that Mike had the idea to get podcasters out. It gave us a little exposure, which was awesome, but... You know, it brings people in that do know these games or could learn these games really easily and add that element to the convention.
I do feel like it was a good, even at the smaller things, the smaller events, it feels like there's a lot of wasted time. Either trying to find players or find a teacher, or you just, you know, you're trying to get to a tournament or whatever. I didn't feel like we wasted any time.
Yeah.
So that was really nice, because that's not always the case. Because when you're doing stuff like that, you're like, okay, I got to hop over here and play this game before the thing and before they give it away. And, you know, there's not a teaching hour. And so you're like, you're just hopping around and there's like minutes and hours of wasting, waiting for something or waiting for players. And it did help that we have 4 players. But I never felt like there were people ready to play with us at all times. So
absolutely.
That was so nice.
All right, man. You got any final thoughts? Are we feeling good with that?
No. If you ever have a chance to go, go.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're in the Knoxville area or driving to Knoxville, you can do that.
Well, and I think we're planning on going back next year.
Yeah.
We talked with Mike about that, and he seemed very open to that idea, which is great. It means we didn't screw anything up too bad.
Yeah.
But we would love to have a group go with us from Nashville or from wherever you're listening if you are able to make the trip. Or we can maybe find you at Gen Con or another convention or just, you know, find some time to game.
Yep. Hit us up in Nashville.
Absolutely. So with all that said, thank you so much for listening, especially if you've made it this far. We really appreciate it. If you have feedback or want to give us your thoughts, we would love to hear from you. Links to our socials are in the description. If you don't like socials, I get it. Shoot us an email at thegametablepodcast@gmail.com or find us on BoardGameGeek. Additionally, we now have a website.
Woo!
Thegametablepodcast.com. You can check us out over there if you'd prefer to listen to your episodes that way. And you got some cute pictures of Ian and I up. And you can learn a little bit more about us. Please pass that along to anyone and everyone. 5-star reviews, subscribing to your podcast player of choice, following us on socials, and joining the conversation on Discord. All of these heroic actions are immensely helpful in growing this podcast. Special thanks to Angie Santiago for our cover art and to Anna Snyder who made the music. Join us next week as we try to get back on schedule with Anna and I tackling a two-top episode. In the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.
And make sure you have some fun in the K-Town. Or just have fun.
Anywhere.
Anywhere. It doesn't make your own town.
Have fun at the table.
Yeah. Have fun at your own table town.
Any town table. Town.
No. Have fun at your own town table.
Oh.
There you go.
That's it. We're done.
I actually liked that. That was a good one.
That was really good.
Your own town table.